When I was 17, I drank some very good beer. I drank some very good beer that I purchased with a fake ID. My name was Brian McGee. I stayed up listening to Queen when I was 17.
And now, a tribute to our lesser known presidents.
Bum, bum, bum. We are the mediocre presidents. You won't find our faces on dollars or on cents. There's Taylor, there's Tyler, there's Fillmore, and there's Hayes. There's William Henry Harrison.
I died in 30 days!
We are the adequate, forgettable, occasionally regrettable caretaker presidents of the U.S.A.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum.
Hi, I'm Dominic Nguyen. You may remember me from such internet classics as Mega Tokyo, Three Panel Soul, and Pornography the Musical. Welcome to the S-Words podcast about The Simpsons, which shaped many of our lives. Kevin, bring it away.
Yes, hello and welcome to the S-Words podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects that begin with the letter S. This week's subject being The Simpsons, as mentioned by Mr. Dom. I'm Kevin Chu, though.
And our guest host this week, returning from last week's Watchmen, or sorry, Snyder. What is Andy of Yahoo?
Well,
Andy,
I don't represent doing? Them, but hello.
So, what's it like being friends with Jerry Yang?
And also a Pividi Chantasirival? Chantasirival? Is it alright? Is it close?
It's close? Chantasirivisal.
Kevin's got it.
Ah, Chantasirivisal. Dang it.
Dang, is that really how you say it?
Yeah.
Chanta?
Chanta CD Vital.
Precisely. Chanta.
Wait, let me see if I'm getting this right. Suti Barakom? Are you okay, Danny? It sounds like you're dying over there.
Suti Barakom. There's a Thai way and there's an English way to say it.
Yeah, it's
just
Chanta.
Like the English way of saying my last name is Chow.
The English way of saying my last name is Nguyen.
And the English way of saying Andy's last name is Scheffler.
Yes! Except you'd be surprised how many people get it wrong.
Scheffler?
Scheffler!
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That's what the computers say, at least. The automated message. We have an automated message for Andrew Scheffler.
Mr. All right. Black!
All right, let's not get ahead of ourselves. This week's topic is The Simpsons, and this is quite the big one. So let's make sure we get everything down pat. Anyways, let's go to the question we usually like to ask on this show. What was the first episode you saw of The Simpsons?
The first episode I saw of The Simpsons was the very first broadcast episode. After they'd gone off of The Tracy Ullman Show and they had their own Christmas special. And that was the very first episode I saw when they picked up Santa's Little Helper. I was, oh man, I don't even remember how old I was. I'm sure that we can just look at the day and say, oh, that was the day it aired. I was really young and it was like, hey, look, Mom, cartoons at night.
Yeah, same for me. Saw the first episode when it aired.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm also a little bit older than the rest of you, so.
Well, the first episode I actually remember watching is the first Treehouse of Horror.
Third season?
First season.
No, Treehouse of Horror began in the second season.
It was second season.
Didn't they have a Halloween episode first season?
They did not have a Halloween episode for the first season.
First season is 13 episodes if you count the Christmas special as well, and yeah, there's not anything holiday specific.
And actually, if you go back to that first season, you look and go, wow, that's primitive. The animation is weird, and the character designs are really angular. Yeah, and then some of the writing, they still hadn't gotten used to the characters yet. So season one is kind of stilted when you hear it later, you know?
Yeah, and the voices aren't quite right.
Yeah, the voices aren't quite
found
right
their
yet.
Groove yet.
Yeah, I have a really difficult time watching the first season.
Yeah.
There's a reason they don't show up in reruns.
Yeah, they don't show up in syndication very often at all.
Well, anyways, the very first episode I saw was also Treehouse of Horror from the second season. And,
it was a big TV event whenever Treehouse of Horror came on, right?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, as a kid, I had no idea what this was. And I said, hey, cartoons at night. Pretty much the exact same sentiment. And it was just, you know, the silly Halloween one. It's not like I had to really know anything to begin with.
Okay. It's not like you ever have to really know that much, you know? I mean, the characters are just so archetypal.
Yes, and everything goes back to normal at the end of the episode.
Except for when Maude died.
Yes, or...
Spoiler!
Spoilers!
It happened like 6 years ago.
Or when Milhouse's parents got divorced. Yeah.
They were very
They started having
they
canon in the later episodes, but at least in the earlier ones, everything went back
reset.
To normal and
yep.
reset, and they're wearing the same clothes, and they're always in the same grades. And
they comment on that a lot,
yes,
which is fun.
And they hang a lampshade on it at some point.
They do?
Yes.
Nice.
Anyways, let's go into the second question. So we all grew up with The Simpsons television and actually watching it as it progressed. So how did growing up with The Simpsons influence you towards any other things? I mean, how do you feel about growing up with The Simpsons? It's pretty much like one of the television shows of our generation.
Well, it was one of those things that just made animation acceptable to a mainstream audience. It wasn't just for kids or for perverts who watch tentacle stuff from Japan anymore. It was for serious writers. Serious stories were being written. They had a huge lineup of guest stars. You know, you're not anybody these days until you've been on The Simpsons. It just brought everything into the forefront. I mean, I'm not even sure if, I might be stretching here, but I'm not sure if Batman the Animated Series would have gotten greenlighted without having The Simpsons going, hey, we can be animated and relevant at the same time. We're not just, you know, like vegetables talking about the Bible or something like that.
Of course, was VeggieTales even around?
No, it wasn't. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, definitely I feel like it did open up a lot of those gates because actually it's kind of interesting. When I grew up with The Simpsons, Bart Simpson was always considered to be this really, you know, negative character that a lot of parents didn't want their kids watching. And surprise, surprise, now, like, every kid knows The Simpsons, and it's not considered negative to even be a fan of Bart Simpson. Now it's always, like, a target of something a lot stronger. I remember when Beavis and Butthead first came out, right after The Simpsons had just started growing in popularity.
This is actually something that The Simpsons themselves pointed out in that episode where they go to the future and Lisa's about to marry Hugh Grant.
Terrible episode,
but there's one part that's great where it's Marge and Homer sitting in bed going, wow, Fox Network became softcore pornography so gradually no one even noticed. And, you know, it's just that over time people just sort of got used to it. You can just say that a lot about various things that The Simpsons did, you know? Over time people just got used to it. You didn't used to have, like, a lot of musical numbers in your half-hour TV show. The Simpsons did that. And then years later, you get the Buffy episode.
Yes. Well, that's just Joss Whedon being Joss Whedon.
Okay, yeah, that's Joss Whedon being Joss Whedon. But still, you know, I mean, it's just running through. People go, oh, yeah, The Simpsons did it. It's fine.
Well, I mean, like, as the show was on the air, did you watch every single episode?
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch all the repeats?
Yes.
It was appointment television.
Sunday nights were the only time that my brother and I could sit together in a room and not fight.
Over what show to watch?
Over anything, really.
Wow. Yeah, actually, that's pretty similar to me and my sister.
We usually do this really, really at the end, and I ask you all to bring in your list of your top five episodes. We're going to go through the list first before we go through how every single season went.
Okay.
And pretty much our talk about how we feel about The Simpsons now. So let's definitely go straight into those five episodes.
All right.
And
so
they are ranked.
Should I just go five through one and one go?
Five through one and one go is fine.
Sure. Number five is Camp Krusty, which led to one of the greatest party lines ever when everybody's heading out, and you all tell everybody that, we're going to the happiest place on Earth! Tijuana!
Yay!
South of the border, down Mexico way.
Moving on.
Number four is a fish called Selma. The episode where she marries Troy McClure.
I see where your episodes are going.
I associate The Simpsons with a lot of music. And so a fish called Selma is the episode where they did Planet of the Apes as a
You didn't
musical.
Even care about the content of the episode.
The content was fine because Phil Hartman was my favorite actor in The Simpsons. And actually, the day that Phil Hartman died, May 28th, 1998, I had Andy look this up just before the podcast. That was actually the day that I stopped watching The Simpsons. Regularly. 1998, May 28th. I saw in the news that his wife had shot him. It was just a sad day. And it never felt the same after that, the Simpsons, you know? That was about when a lot of their original writers had already gone off, or at least not original writers, but the writers from their golden age had gone to, you know, doing things like Futurama or the Conan O'Brien show.
Right.
I think he still owes them some episodes, right? They brought him in for the commentary for the season
three
and season four.
They also brought him in to do some stuff on the movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Really?
Nice. But anyway, yeah, a fish called Selma, because it was a Troy McClure episode, and Troy McClure was one of my favorite characters, along with Lionel Hutz. And also, you know, you can't forget Phil Hartman's contribution to the monorail episode.
That's true.
Yeah. He was just a regular player. He never played a single character every episode or anything like that, but he was just a really, really good character player. Sorry, number three is the episode where they parodied Cape Fear.
That's the Sideshow Bob stepping on a bunch of rakes one, right?
Yes.
Which has already come up in this podcast at least once.
Yes, when I compared it to Street
Fighter. I don't
know
if I tagged it.
We can just always say, mention the fact that that scene is what it felt like to be watching Street Fighter The Legend of Chun-Li.
But actually, this is also a musical episode as well.
It
right?
is.
Of course it is.
How does it go again?
He says, wait, Sideshow Bob, before you kill me, could you sing the entire score of the HMS Pinafore?
Very well, Bart. I shall send you to heaven before I send you to hell.
We sail the ocean blue, and a bonny ship's a beauty. We are sober men and true, and are swerving in our duty.
I'm poor little buttercup, sweet little buttercup. No, I will never say why.
What, never?
No, never.
What, never?
Hardly ever.
And so they got Kelsey Grammer to just do that. And Kelsey Grammer is one of the great voices, too, you know, that they brought in for every Sideshow Bob episode. Sideshow Bob episodes are just so enjoyable most of the time. Although the episode where they brought in David Hyde Pierce was a little weird.
The brother from another
brother
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Episode 2 is their James Bond parody with Scorpio.
You only move twice.
You only move twice. Was that also the same episode where it had Homer dealing cards to James Bond, or did he just tackle James Bond in that
episode? No, that's a different episode.
Okay.
The dealing cards to James Bond one is when Burns opens the casino. And
that's right.
Rules for stud poker.
Rules for drawn stud poker. You're supposed to take these out of the deck. Looks like you lose, Mr. Bond.
No, I never lose.
It's Homer's fault.
Somehow Sean Connery makes his way back.
All right, so that's my second favorite episode because it was just so ridiculous. You know, he's
the Denver Broncos.
He gets the Denver Broncos at the end. You know, he's talking to the UN, right? And it's like, wait, maybe that was a coincidence. We can't take that chance. Oh, you never want to take that chance. Oh, I want to take the chance. So, you know, just that juxtaposition was so great in that episode. And then number one is, because it's me, Homer at the Bat. The episode where they bring in a bunch of ringers to play baseball.
For the nuclear power plant.
For the nuclear
team,
power
right?
plant softball team. And it also was
a lot of people remember that one.
Daryl.
Oh, that was a great episode. And it also had another song attached to it. How did
wow.
that one go again? Andy? Danny, come in from the kitchen to join us on this one.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it. With Roger Clemens clucking all the while. My socious tragic illness made us smile. While Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile, we're talking softball. The main is San Diego talking softball. Mattingly and Canseco, Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Saxon is running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.
But yeah, not even just as a baseball fan or a Simpsons fan, but just in terms of being able to bring in, you know, all of these celebrities and actually make it an episode with a cohesive plot. And it wasn't just a cameo episode, you know? They were there. They were being funny, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They wrote in whole stories for every single one of
the
baseball players
that
came in.
The best thing is that on the commentary for that one, they talked to the casting director for that episode, and he was talking about how he had to chase down every single baseball player because they were, you know, on the road. And he had to chase down every baseball player, and he had to talk to Roger Clemens, a 6'6", like 200 and some pound muscle man who I don't think he was on steroids at the time, but anyway, but he was just like, you know, he was being stared down by Roger Clemens, who by the way, hit his own son in the head with a baseball in spring training. It must be mentioned. And it's like, you want me to cluck like a chicken? And so, you know, there's just so many stories that, and it's such a fun episode. It's my perfect Simpsons episode. Got a good song. The celebrity cameos don't seem forced. And it's got Mr. Burns trying to dig up long dead baseball players. It's like, I've collected the greatest baseballers ever. Mordecai, Three Finger Brown. Sir, most of those people are retired, and I think your right fielder's been dead for 100 years. All right, Andy, bring us your top five.
So my number five is actually the one we were just talking about. It is Homer at the Bat.
Wow, big surprise.
Yes. Yeah, that's number five, though, so I don't rate it nearly as high as Dom because I'm not a baseball fan. Number four is Itchy and Scratchy Land, where nothing could possibly go wrong.
Possibly.
The children
possibly
don't
go wrong.
The children don't look happy. Like,
the first thing that's gone
Add
wrong.
More balls.
Remember, kids, we farted in Scratchy.
Actually,
the itchy lot. Every time I go to Disneyland,
every
time we park anywhere, that joke comes up.
And Miho wants to strangle us. Miho wants to strangle us whenever we do that at Disneyland. We're bringing in Miho again. All right.
Number three is Cape Fear, which was previously mentioned.
Yes.
Number two is Marge versus the Monorail, which
also is very musical.
It's very musical.
Mono, no! And I actually, besides the song, which I've heard way more times than I've actually watched the episode because I have the soundtrack.
And because we sing it at random.
Were you sent here by the devil? No, good sir, I'm on the level.
The ring came off my pudding can.
Use my penknife, my good man. yeah, it also had Leonard Nimoy in it.
Yes,
so
it did.
Can do no wrong.
The world needs luck.
Anything more about the Monorail episode we want to say?
We're good.
Okay.
Dan just came in from the kitchen to go, no, the world needs laughter.
My number one episode is Treehouse of Horror 5.
Which one's 5? Is that the 3D
Five
one?
Is The Shinning.
Oh, The Shinning. You've got The Shinning Boy.
The Shinning, the time travel, and the Cafeteria of Doom.
Oh, yeah. You might say there's a little Gunter in all of us.
You might say we made Gunter into the meat and we're eating him now. Forget that last one.
All right, Amy. Bring us your 5.
Number 5 is from season 6, The Bart of Darkness, which was a throwback to Hitchcock's Rear Window, where Bart breaks his leg.
Oh,
that is. He thinks he sees Ned murdering Maud.
Yes, that was a very good episode. There's that play that he writes for himself.
Isn't that also the one with the swimming pool?
Yes, it is the one with the swimming pool.
That's how he breaks his leg.
Right.
Remember how there's an act one that has nothing to do with the main episode.
Right.
It only somehow segues into the main episode.
So number 4 is Krusty Gets Cancelled, and that one just because that's where we meet Gabbo!
It's also got lots and lots of guest stars.
Oh yeah, because it was
I'll get you, Bette Midler! Was that also Sideshow Luke Perry?
Yes.
No, my face! My valuable face!
Are you ready, Sideshow Luke Perry?
Yeah. Number 3, we've mentioned already, which is the Cape Fear episode.
Wow.
It's on everyone's list so far.
Yeah. It is a great episode. It established Sideshow Bob as a classic villain. Sideshow Bob's a great character.
By far my favorite Sideshow Bob episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 2 is Stark Raving Dad from season 3, which is with fake Michael Jackson.
Fake Michael Jackson.
And Lisa's birthday.
Yes.
Another
also
musical
a musical
number.
Episode.
Well, but it also had, you know, pieces of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in there, which is a great movie and a great book as well. But it's a greater movie because of Nicholson. Anyway.
All right. And number 1, as I previously mentioned, was the first episode that I remember watching is Treehouse of Horror 1.
Which one was in Treehouse of Horror 1? Was that Pet Sematary where they bring back all the zombies and stuff?
No, this is the one with the raven.
Raven, wow. Eat my sword.
I remember the first time The Simpsons, like, looked artsy.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
And then, remember the next time The Simpsons looked really, really artsy was when they tried to do the Mr. Plow commercials? And they had, like, the snow globe and, like,
Linda Ronstadt!
What was the other?
There was the introduction of the aliens.
Kang
and Kodos.
Kang and Kodos, I think Kang and Kodos, that was a Twilight Zone reference there. But I think Kang and Kodos' greatest episode was during the Clinton Dole.
Yes,
campaign.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos.
Yeah. What if we vote for the third party?
Go ahead.
Waste your vote.
We must go forward. Not backwards, not upwards, not forwards, but always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom.
That is a very good episode, Amy. I like that. Which treehouse wasn't actually the
first treehouse.
Yeah. Which treehouse of horrors was the one with the doll? The
Frogert episode is my number five.
Oh, okay. That's
treehouse
a good
of horror
two.
Treehouse of horror two. And I'm only picking this one because I love the exchange about the Frogert.
Yes.
So it's I believe it goes like let's see. What about that doll?
The doll comes with a terrible curse.
Aw, that's bad.
That comes with the free frozen yogurt, which I call
Frogert. That's good.
The Frogert is also cursed.
Oh, that's bad.
But the Frogert comes with a free topping.
that's good.
The topping contains sodium benzoate.
Sodium benzoate.
Is it sodium benzoate?
Is it?
It's always something everyone talks about.
Anyway.
Are you sure?
Well, we can look it up after this. We'll put it in the comments. We'll fix it in post-production.
Yes, we will find out.
Whatever it is. It's bad.
That's bad.
Anyways, my number four is Dancin' Homer. This is the one where Homer becomes the mascot for the Springfield Isotopes.
Yes, that's a good one, too.
So this is my baseball episode, basically. And I just love it. The whole idea of... So I'm going to tell you this right out. From my next four episodes are more like Simpsons episodes that you would think more in a dramatic sense. And just this whole story about Homer, this little guy, just going off to the big leagues and not... And finding out he doesn't fit there.
Oh, yeah.
It just felt so much like they were really writing and not just stringing gags
together.
That's
true, because remember that in the early days, Homer came across a lot of moral dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't just go, oh, look, I've met the president or something like that, you know. He thought about cheating on his wife at a couple of episodes.
Yes.
But he never did it. You know, or a lot of times he had to keep going back to his family, you know. He would go off and do something big, but... Even in the Scorpio episode, that has a really big heart in it. You know, where Marge isn't happy, Bart is, like, being put in kindergarten, I think. Wasn't it in that episode?
I don't remember.
You know, Marge is drinking because
everything's automatic
at home.
Yes, he was in kindergarten.
Yeah, he was in kindergarten. I forget what happened to Lisa.
Oh, she's allergic to everything.
Oh, yeah, she's allergic to everything. And so, you know, it's like, it's the perfect situation, but, you know, his family's not happy, so he goes home.
All right, my number three is also quite dramatic. This is the one, The Way He Was, which is the episode...
With the B-sharps?
No,
with the crayon. You take the crayon out of his brain?
No, The Way He Was is the one about Marge's prom date with Artie Ziff.
Oh.
In which Homer saves her. Not really saves her, but...
Well, he keeps her from being... He wards off Artie's advances on her.
No. Artie does advance on her, and she gets mad at him.
That's right.
And she drives home, and she sees Homer there, and she offers him a ride back.
That's right. I remember.
So I remember that. I was like, wow, this is actual good dramatic writing. It would be something more that I would think about on something like The Wonder Years, more so than on The Simpsons. And that's what actually made The Simpsons so classic for its time. But my number two is also, man, it's also quite dramatic, and it's the episode When Flanders Failed, which is the Leftorium episode.
The Leftorium,
involving Homer wishing Flanders' store would actually fail. And in the end, you get the big happy ending, and it's just like, it was, I think, the first time you ever saw Homer actually care about Flanders.
And not only that, it was an episode where Homer was being a gigantic jerk through the entire episode, and it was the first time you actually thought that Homer was irredeemable. And then at the end, he realizes what he's doing, you know, and he doesn't really have a change of heart. He just realizes what he's been doing this entire time. And he goes, all right, I've been a horrible person. Let's fix this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At least until the end of the episode when everything resets.
Yeah, everything resets. But still, you know, I mean, a lot of these episodes revolve around Homer being a guy just like us and being faced with big problems. It's true.
Well... Actually, this my number one episode is also of the same kind of theme. It's Rosebud, which is the episode about Burns' bear.
Right. Yes.
In which Homer has to decide about whether to let Maggie keep Burns' prized teddy bear rather than, you know, trade it in for three tropical islands. Anyways, yeah.
Was,
so,
which one was
I thought
the
it was
one
like,
they gave
like
him,
$2 or $3 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Which one was the one where they gave him, oh no, I'm thinking of the episode where, Mr. Burns falls in love with, Marge, where they get that gigantic, like, head in their living room.
Oh, yes.
The Aztec head, I think.
Yes, where he does give them the gigantic Aztec
which was one
head
of the
reward.
Few, continuity things
yeah.
where,
it's in the basement,
it was
right?
in, the basement,
in the basement.
So now from then on, whenever they go into the basement, there's this giant head.
Well, yeah, that's my number one. It's I don't know, for me, the episodes where Homer is dealing with some sort of dilemma involving Maggie have always been the very good episodes. So
yeah,
that's pretty much like the start of that whole kind of theme.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of a good way to segue into the next thing I was going to ask people. What's your favorite kind of Simpsons episode? Because they do have, you know, styles and then in themes that they fall into. Amy, what kind of episode did you like the best?
I might have to agree with Kevin. Even though none of, you know, the same episodes appeared on my top five, I really liked the episodes where they actually involved real writing and real plot development.
That's yeah.
And of course they throw in a couple gags here and there, which makes it even better.
That's true.
Andy? Yeah, I'm gonna have to go the complete opposite way.
You like the crazy episodes?
I like the crazy gag episodes.
Like the episode where, that cat burglar buries, the treasure under a big X.
Oh, right. The mad
world. It's X in the actual movie.
Wait, it's a W.
It's a W in the movie?
No, it's a X in the movie, but it's a W in the Simpsons
That's
episode.
Right. Or is it a T or something like that?
Or whatever.
It's a ridiculous letter.
Yes.
It's under the palm trees.
Yes.
So yeah,
like the really wacky,
crazy, the ones kind of stuff that made way for Family Guy type antics with the non sequiturs and everything.
That's fair.
See, those are good too. It just happens to be that sometimes when it gets too gimmicky, I can't really follow along with it so much, which is my issue with the recent Family Guy episodes, actually. But
yeah,
we won't get into that.
The recent Simpsons stuff has gotten pretty gimmicky. A lot of like things to try and get the celebrity cameo in as hard as possible, you know, like just trying to squeeze things in, or Homer wins big prizes and it's not the fact that he's doing horrible things that makes him stop, but the fact that the consequences are hitting his family and then he eventually is forced to stop instead of stopping on his own. Yeah, that's kind of a symptom of the recent seasons, isn't it? Like
the recent seasons have totally kind of, if they do anything dramatic, it just doesn't end up working out very well. And if they do something just kind of wacky, you just feel like every week is just doing something wacky. There's not much of a balance going back and forth anymore. And we're going to talk about
our
thoughts of the current state of the show.
I mean, I stopped watching The Simpsons regularly when Phil Hartman died, but I think the day that I realized that I was past my Simpsons phase of life was when they started using gross out humor, you know?
Exactly.
Where it's like, this isn't good writing. It's just gross out.
Anyways, we're going to run through the notable episodes I've jotted down from each season. And
well, the thing is, there's a huge concentration of these, too, in the early seasons.
Yes, it's actually quite interesting.
Because it's not really even a bell curve. They just sort of hit their peak around seasons 3 and 4, and then they sort of cruise.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyways, season 1, we get to see Santa's Little Helper for the first time in the Christmas special. Bart becomes a genius, and we get the joke RDRR. Which only math nerds sort of ended up getting. So yeah. When I was young, I never got that joke. But then when I grew up, I was like, oh, I got it.
I still
it's
don't get
R
it.
Cubed, it's R squared D times R. And then you have to rearrange them to RDRR. Get it?
Don't get it?
Get it?
It's derivatives.
RDRR.
It's calculus.
RDRR. Anyways, Homer's Odyssey, in which Homer is fired in front of Bart's class and then he considers killing himself, which is actually quite serious for the time.
Yeah.
And he discovers a safety issue on the road, and he eventually becomes the safety inspector at the power plant. So that's also an episode in terms of continuity. They did keep around with that. Also, Moaning Lisa, in which Lisa meets Bleeding Gums Murphy for the first time. And The Crepes of Wrath, which is an episode that I never thought was season 1, in which Bart goes to France on the foreign exchange.
That's right.
Program.
That's
season 1. It totally feels like they were in the groove when they wrote that episode.
Yeah.
Anyways, and the final one.
What's the name of the girl who voices Bart?
Nancy Cartwright.
Nancy Cartwright switching languages in mid-sentence was awesome.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And Nancy Cartwright, she actually does lectures on acting and things like that. And there's an episode that'll probably be coming up with the radio that Bart gets where she plays all three characters in the same scene. You know, it's like Rod, Todd, this is God. Help us, Lord! You know, that, she's all three characters in that, and she can do that live. It's crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Anyways, season one ended with the episode Krusty Gets Busted, in which Slideshow Bob frames Krusty. So actually, you know, season one, when I think about it, and when I was watching it, the first time I had bought the first box set, I was kind of a bit disappointed also, I think, because, you know, for $30, you only got 13 episodes.
And it also just feels...
It looked very old. Yeah. But yeah, there's actually some great stories in season one. Now, in terms of great stories, we go into season two, we get the episode Bart Gets an F, in which...
He turns the F into an A.
No, he turns the F into a D minus.
D minus, that's right.
And that's the first time we've seen Bart actually work with Martin Prince. And actually, that's the first time we actually get any sort of characterization on Martin Prince.
Yeah, I think he was just a random classmate. They actually started to give a lot of the different classmates some personalities.
Although they sort of started phasing a lot of them out, too, like the twins.
So yeah, also we get Life on the Fast Lane, which is the one in which Marge is seduced by the bowler.
Which was actually very serious for its time.
Especially for an animated show.
Jocks.
We also get the one episode where Homer finally gets his hair back and becomes successful.
Yes. With his assistant, right? Carl?
Yes, with Carl.
Carl.
The episode where Bart...
This is season two, right?
This is all season two. Bart sets Lisa's centerpiece on fire and he discovers what it's like to be a bum on the streets. We also get Bart the Daredevil, where Homer falls down the cliff twice. We also get the episode where we finally see Principal Skinner fall in love with Patty for the first time. And he proposes to her, but she rejects him.
Yes.
And that was, I think, the first time we actually see Skinner do anything
major. Oh, they just talk over the PA, yeah.
Exactly. We get the episode where Homer's brother Herb comes back and...
Voiced by Danny DeVito.
And asks him to design the car.
The Homer.
They had that little design session with his other car guys. We're like, we've called it the Persephone. What?
No.
Yeah.
Rack and peanut steering.
Yeah, that's right.
The same season, Marge paints Burns nude.
With Ringo Starr in that episode.
Yes, with Ringo Starr, and this is going to be sort of a trend. Eventually, they do get every single...
Living Beetle.
We also see Lisa fall in love with her substitute teacher, and also...
I barely remember that episode.
Really?
I remember really liking that one.
I remember liking it too.
Yeah, it was
pretty sweet.
Yeah. We get the episode in which Homer has to choose between marriage counseling and catching the giant catfish.
That's right.
We also get Martin, Milhouse, and Bart sharing their purchase of Radioactive Man #1.
Comic. Oh,
which I thought was awesome, especially it's just sort of like a guys bonding kind of.
Yeah,
episode.
It is.
You always know there was that one fight that you and like your other friends you fought over something just so silly and like childish before.
Yeah, although it wasn't worth, you know, like $800. But anyway,
and
like if we had an issue of Amazing story. It's just amazing, right? The first appearance of Superman.
It's just Amazing Comics.
If we had Amazing
Action Comics.
Sorry.
Amazing Comics is Spider-Man.
Amazing Comics. Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man. You're right.
Amazing Fantasy.
Fantasy.
Ooh.
Andy, I lost nerd points.
Like minus 20 nerd points.
Andy, how can we possibly bring you back for the Wolverine movie?
Or even next week's Spider-Man topic.
I'm not around for that one.
Yeah. But anyway, if there was an Action Comics with the first appearance of Superman on the table right in front of us right now, I think it would come to blows between the three of us.
Yeah, I would actually fight you guys to have it.
To the death. And then Amy would get it and run off.
Exactly. This is how I roll.
Yeah. She would go off to Thailand and buy all the boys she wants, right? You have to make sure that they're boys, though. I mean, Thailand's a little weird on that.
I know.
What's that really good soup?
Priyak soup?
In Thailand?
It's one of their great treasures, I hear. I hear Tony Jaa is going to be saving it in his next movie. Because he's already saved elephants in Buddha.
Season two ends with Bart giving Burns his blood. Which actually, back then I thought it was a pretty, you know, significant episode. Now I just...
Was that the one where he sort of adopts Bart for a while or no?
No.
These all start to run together in 20 years.
Homer Simpson, eh?
Anyways, yeah. Season three, we also get Lisa going to Washington and finding out about the congressman.
One of the greatest lines in Simpsons history, by the way. Senator! A little girl is losing her faith in democracy! Good Lord! One of those great lines. They just came and they just hit you like a truck, and then you went, "Wow, that was a great line," and you kept it for 20 years, like us.
In the same season, Bart starts mixing drinks for Fat Tony. Homer picks the right button to save Springfield from a nuclear meltdown. Krusty reunites with his father. I'm actually kind of surprised that didn't come up in any of the lists.
That was my number six.
Oh, we start doing the Dom thing now.
the list creep. But yeah, it was a good episode. What did it remind me of? I don't really remember that episode.
I have no son!
Oh, so we got the wrong guy. I meant that figuratively.
And also, Homer helps Bart with his soapbox derby. Interestingly enough, I still have the newspaper ad for this episode in one of my old scrapbooks. I remember it clearly. It's still in there. I just have to find the scrapbook. Wow. But yeah, I can't believe that
Simpsons
was
that big
old
of a part of your life.
Too.
Back when people actually read newspapers.
And made scrapbooks.
Yeah, newspapers?
Wait a second. No, scrapbooking is a pretty common hobby these days.
Yep. It's actually coming back.
Is it?
For middle-aged women.
Oh, okay.
the Germans take over the power plant temporarily.
The random chocolates. Those dream sequences.
The Germans. Stop that, Mr. Burns.
the Germans.
The Germans are coming.
Coming to get me. Oh, Smithers, watch out. It's the Germans.
Stop that. Stop that, Mr. Burns.
We were talking about chocolate?
That was 20 minutes ago.
We also get Flaming Moe's.
Flaming Moe's with the Cheers parody.
The secret ingredient is love. Who's been messing with this thing?
Which, I think the guest star on that one was Red Hot Chili Peppers. They played in their underwear phase.
Yes.
We also get Bart falling down the well.
Which is where that one I was talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Where he takes over Rod and Todd's radio. And also they had... we're sending Sting. Our love down the well with Sting.
All the way down. Or is the canary's dead. Out of the hole. Well. This canary died of natural causes. Back in the hole.
We do also get the episode in which Homer uses Lisa's picks to win football bets.
Do you have the note about that one where they would air that before the Super Bowl and they would update it with the current teams?
Oh, really?
And Lisa's pick for like 6 years running, at least, won.
Whoa.
It was crazy.
Wow.
I didn't know they did that.
They used to run that before every Super Bowl.
Also, Bart pretends to write love letters to Mrs. Krabappel. Miss Krabappel as Woodrow. Yes. I like that episode quite a bit.
It's really sad when you think about it because, you know, she's eating Chef Lonely Hearts and she's just this.
Oh, you remember? Holy.
You forget my memory.
Plus 20 nerd points right here.
Yes.
I got it back for calling it Amazing Comics instead of Amazing Fantasy.
You took all of Andy's.
Yes. But yeah, she's eating like Chef Lonely Hearts. He pulls out the picture of Gordie Howe.
You might want to remind people who Gordie Howe is.
He was one of the greatest hockey players who ever lived. But anyway, but you know, it's just, it was a fun episode, and it had a heart too, you know? Although, P.S. I am gay. A little weird.
Anyways, also, this is also the same season we get the baseball episode. The same season where we get the introduction to Lurline with Colonel Homer.
How many times did Lurline come back?
I think it was just that one.
No, she comes back later when you guys stop watching. It was not a great episode, so we can move on. Sideshow Bob tries to kill Selma. Through her MacGyver episodes.
And it was another detective episode, that's right, where they... well, it's always a detective episode with Sideshow Bob, right? Yeah. In this case, it was because she couldn't smell.
Yes.
Yes.
And Herb returns to develop a tool that translates baby talk.
Season 3 was a great season.
Yeah, definitely.
There is no question about that. That is one of their greatest seasons.
Really sad to think of how long ago it was.
Yes, because we're in season 20 right now.
Oh. All right, bring us to season 4.
Season 4, let's go a little bit faster. Camp Krusty, the streetcar named Desire episode. Lisa winning the beauty pageant and rejecting it because the sponsor is Laramie Cigarettes. The Frogurt is also cursed.
Yes.
The itchy and scratchy movies, in which we also find out there's a cameo from Dustin Hoffman. The episode where Bart falls in love with that girl who ends up liking Jimbo.
Where she
the one where she tears his heart out. No,
wait,
no,
it was
no,
it Jimbo? No, it was,
this
it was
is
the
older.
Millhouse.
This is the older girl.
Oh,
is this
the older girl.
The minister's daughter?
No. This is the new neighbors. They move, and there's that scene where she rips out his heart and kicks it.
The guest voice was that girl from Roseanne, one of the daughters.
Yes, exactly.
Gilbert?
Yeah.
Sure. Yes.
All right, anyway.
Mr. Plow?
Mr. Plow is a great episode. Barney is a good character. I heard that they changed him to try and make him, like, they took him out, put him on the wagon for a while.
They made him sober for a while, yeah. That was lame.
Was it? How lame was it?
Well, those seasons were lame. So.
Well, there was the one episode where he got off the wagon, and then Duffman shows up.
Get to my brain!
That was the episode with the critic crossover, wasn't it? With the film festival,
right?
Where he wins a lifetime supply of Duff beer as his reward for winning the film contest,
and he's the designated driver that night.
Don't cry for me. I am already dead.
And also, this is the same season where Maggie first says Dada, and that is Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
And Marge versus the monorail. Ralph falls in love with Lisa.
Because she chooses
him. But in the end, they decide to be friends.
And then there's a part where he pauses. And that's the moment where you see his heart break.
The last Exit to Springfield episode, this is the one with Dental Plan.
Lisa needs braces.
Dental Plan. And finally, Krusty Gets Canceled, which is the Gabbo episode. So season 4 is actually pretty strong, too, I think so. Actually, season 5, Homer joins the barbershop quartet.
Yeah, the B-sharps.
That
was a great episode.
The Cape Fear episode.
By the way, I actually have always wondered about this. How did they structure that episode the way they did? Is it based on another movie, or is it just the way they decided to structure it?
I think it's just structured that way.
Okay.
I can't think of what it's based off of.
Other than the ending scene with the
parody of the Beatles.
Well, yeah, it started with them finding the album.
Yeah.
And he starts telling the story. I mean, that's just a common story structure.
But then there were the parts where he continues telling the story while they're pulled over on the side of the road and Marge is changing the tire.
The Cape Fear episode, Burns' Bear episode, the episode where Marge goes on that Thelma and Louise type journey.
Yes, with the neighbor's mom or whatever, something like that, yeah.
The do-rag girl.
Mindy joins the power plant, and Homer has to think unsexy thoughts.
I have to think unsexy thoughts right now because there's a pear tart that Amy made right next to me, and I want to eat it this entire time. I just keep wanting to eat that. I have to think unsexy thoughts. Kevin in a bikini.
Unsexy. Wow, man.
I am broken.
The problem is that I'm across the table from Amy and I'm thinking about her in a bikini now. And now I'm like, that is sexy. Damn it. I have to look at Kevin again. Okay, that's pretty unsexy.
You don't know what's under here.
I'm just now.
Is that a challenge?
Now I'm stupid, sexy Flanders. It's like I'm wearing nothing at all. Or what is it? There was an episode where Homer was. They were trying to prove to Homer that he was an alcoholic and he was fantasizing and he was looking at himself in the mirror and
he moves his pecs,
flexing his pecs.
Anyways, season 5, we also see Marge's first gambling addiction. Bart says, "I didn't do it."
The catchphrase episode where they brought Conan O'Brien back and they had that entire catchphrase montage at the end of the episode. Yeah,
if you need me, I'll be in my room.
What kind of catchphrase is that?
Apu gets fired from the Quickie Mart.
Who needs a Quickie Mart? He lied to us. It's wrong.
I hate it when people do that.
Lisa designs the Lisa Lionheart doll.
Ooh, yeah.
Homer goes into space. Homer becomes friends with Flanders, and this is when we get the Nacho Nacho Man song. And Bart gets an elephant.
Stampy is great. I like headbutting people because of that episode. I lower my head and I just run into people's arms.
Stop that, Mr. Wins. Stop that.
Some people are just jerks.
And Bart gets Skinner fired, in which he decides to finally write the great American novel about a futuristic amusement park where dinosaurs produced from advanced cloning techniques. I call it Billy and the Clonosaurus.
So who were the writers for those early episodes? Because most of them went on to Futurama, right?
Yes, definitely a lot of them went on to Futurama. But I don't actually know their names.
I
remember everyone knows Conan O'Brien.
And then
from
Brad Bird
three.
was a director, right?
Yes, Brad Bird was a director.
Okay. Who else big has come out of The Simpsons to have, like, not really a solo career, but at least a name career where they actually, you know, people actually know them?
You mean Matt Groening?
I would hope so.
So there's Matt Groening, Conan O'Brien, Brad Bird.
Not really many others. A lot of them stick to writing for different shows.
That's probably
pretty
true.
Much
yeah, a bunch of staff writers who get a career as staff writers and stay as staff writers.
All right, so I'm going to race through these next few ones. Season 6, we have the Rear Window parody,
yes.
Itchy and Scratchy Land, the Venus de Milo sexual harassment episode, the Simpson and Son revitalizing tonic, the Stonecutters.
Wait a second, the Venus de Milo, oh, right, with the gummy bear.
The gummy Venus de Milo.
Gummy Venus de Milo.
Sweet can.
Oh, right, and the clock keeps moving.
That was such a great sequence. I don't have that season on DVD. Who has that one? Andy, I'm gonna get that one from you so I can watch that sequence again.
I think I have the first 10 seasons on DVD.
That's about...
You mean the worthwhile ones?
Yeah.
The worthwhile ones.
A couple have come out recently that I don't own, that I'm not buying, but yeah.
Oh man, you know what I've just realized? Our quote sign has gotta be really hard because we've been doing it the entire episode here.
No one's mentioned my quote yet.
There's also the episode where Homer quits his job at the power plant and then comes back because he finds out that Marge is pregnant again with Maggie. This is the one with the do it for her thing.
Yes,
at the end.
But it's also got the two doors, applicants and supplicants.
Yes, that's right. One for people who have to crawl, right?
Yes.
Homer goes to clown college. Bart versus Australia.
Australia, America.
That's not a knife. Now that's a knife. That's a spoon.
See, you played knifey spoony before.
I'd like some coffee. Beer.
Coffee.
Beer. the critic visits Springfield, and we get to see football to the groin for the first time.
Yes, football to the groin. Man getting hit and crushed by football.
Yes.
Why do I remember the full title of that movie?
Bleeding Gums Murphy dies. And
what was with that whole James Earl Jones thing anyway? Oh, because it was the Lion King scene, right?
With
the clouds. Was that actually James Earl Jones?
Mufasa is played by James Earl Jones.
Yeah, well, did they actually get James Earl Jones to do the voice?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
Yeah.
And we are sent off for the summer with Who Shot Mr. Burns?
Which
was actually a really brilliant
It was a brilliant marketing
concept,
idea. They
yeah.
brought in the guy from America's Most Wanted to introduce that episode. And they actually treated it seriously. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't treat it that seriously, but they played it serious.
So season 7 opens up with us finding out that Maggie shot Mr. Burns.
Spoiler.
We also get the... whatever. We get the Radioactive Man movie. Lisa becomes a vegetarian, and this is where we cap
Wait,
off.
Wait, Radioactive getting... Man movie. Oh, I need to write that down.
The goggles.
No,
say the
nasty. No.
Lisa becomes a vegetarian, so now we've had Ringo Starr, George Harrison, and Paul McCartney all
yes.
show up on the show.
And the thing is that they got Paul McCartney on the show by promising to make Lisa a
vegetarian
permanently.
Forever. Yes.
Yes, that was one of
the
other things that kept going. After the episode ended, it
wait,
didn't
wait,
get
when did they do? Was that the episode with the flying pig? It's still good. It's
yes,
good. It's
it is
little
the
airborne.
Same one.
Oh, I keep taking my own ideas. I can't cross this
we
one
finally
out.
See Homer in 3D for the first time.
Oh, the treehouse.
Homer gains weight to become disabled. this one's actually an episode I was thinking about putting in my list. Bart is caught stealing at the store, and then Marge finds out. And that's why Bart can't go to get the family portrait. At the end, he goes and takes it on his own. They attach that portrait onto the family one.
Ah, okay.
Actually, I think it's easier to remember when you do see it. But I remember,
yeah, that, I remember
one
that one
being really serious. And also that game that he tried to steal being pretty awesome.
Oh.
That's the same episode with Thrill Ho.
Oh, yes.
Welcome, Thrill Ho.
That's where he gets the golf game, right? Yeah.
Yes. Otto tries to get the lobster harmonica.
I don't remember that one.
From the bowling, the one where Homer forms his own bowling team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
right.
they, Mo hits Mr. Burns in the knee to fix his knee.
Right.
Also the episode where they find the original creator of Itchy and Scratchy and, he ends up suing the company and ending the show. Yeah. And they bring it back. And we cap it off with the Planet of the Apes musical.
Yes.
So, I mean, even up to season 7, we're still being pretty consistent. We're not getting as many episodes that are really that memorable, but
they're still good.
Yeah, they're still
like,
good.
You bring up the name and they go, oh yeah, that episode, that was a good one.
So, let's look at this now.
Season 3 was the one where I actually, you know, was pulling out details of every single episode, going, oh man, that was a great episode.
So, I'm gonna go through seasons 8 through 11 now, and just start noticing how few notable episodes we're getting anymore.
Yeah.
So season 8, Kang and Kodos become Clinton and Bob Dole. Scorpio. Ned loses his house in the hurricane, and we find out more about his childhood. Homer eats the crazy pepper, and the talking dog tells him to find his soulmate.
Find your spirit animal.
We get the X-Files crossover.
Wait a second. Was that also the episode where Homer ends up in the lighthouse?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Batman's really let himself go.
Is that bad? Either that or Batman's really let himself go.
We get the X-Files episode. Marge starts her pretzel wagon business. Homer and Burns are locked in the cabin during an avalanche.
I have powers!
Political powers! The Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie show. Homer befriends a gay man and fears Bart is becoming gay.
Which season had the Big Brother episode? I'm trying to remember which one that was.
Earlier.
Earlier? Okay, yeah. Because that was another Phil Hartman episode that I remember now. With using the starfish as throwing stars and like,
here you go.
Oh!
Skinner admits to being a virgin. Homer discovers Mr. Sparkle. And Frank Grimes kills himself.
Which one's Frank Grimes?
The one that has a problem with Homer being
nemesis.
Too stupid. Yes, it's Homer's nemesis.
Right.
Okay, so that's, you know, season 8. Now listen to season 9. Homer uses the air conditioner money to buy Lisa a new saxophone. Homer buys a gun. Lisa doesn't believe that the bones found in the new mall construction site are that of an angel. Bart and Homer join the carnival. Homer joins the cult, which is the episode with fishing.
Stonecutters, right?
No. Stonecutters way earlier. One where he sings the Batman song but says fishing instead of Batman.
Oh.
Mo falls in love. This is the one with Helen Hunt.
That one was okay-ish.
Lisa discovers every male Simpson gets dumber with age.
Yes, the dumbening episode.
So that's season 9. Now listen to season 10. Homer and Bart sell grease. Homer discovers what the J in his middle initial stands for. Canyon Arrow.
Canyon Arrow is good.
Homer becomes a trucker. And Simpsons visit Japan.
The Simpsons visit Japan was another fun one.
That was like when I stopped watching because I actually have not seen The Simpsons visit Japan. That was one of the first ones.
Wow.
I actually remember missing. So yeah, that pretty much nails, like I was trying to think, when did I stop watching The Simpsons?
So let's just skip the rest of the season.
Well, here's the thing. Season 11, Homer helps Mel Gibson make a movie.
Eh.
Maude dies.
Eh.
And the Behind the Laughter episode.
Eh.
And I'm not even going to talk about seasons 12 and onward because I really couldn't find that.
Let's just skip to the movie because the movie was good.
Yeah, so let's talk about the movie. You know, I first heard about the movie, I was like, oh great. More reason for me to start feeling like The Simpsons is dated, not funny anymore. I didn't go see it on opening weekend. I waited like a month before I watched it.
You want to know where I saw The Simpsons movie?
On an airplane?
No. In our room at San Diego Comic Con last year.
Oh, that's right.
That was the
right.
first time I'd seen
Which
it.
Which is funny because previous Comic Cons we decided to try to go see The Simpsons movie in a theater, but decided it was too much work and we didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Because that was opening weekend. They opened it on Comic-Con weekend so that the Simpsons panel, people could congratulate Matt Groening on, like, what is it, 60-some million in its opening week? More?
67 million?
Something like that.
The movie went on to make $500 million internationally.
But the thing is that it was a good movie.
No, it was a good movie, and I laughed a lot.
I laughed.
It was the first time that The Simpsons felt like The Simpsons again.
I thought the first half was stronger than the second half, though.
Probably.
Well, because they had to do that whole, like, let's have a gigantic story, and then let's use 3D to have...
Let's go to Alaska.
Homer and Bart saving the day at the end. But a lot of the stuff they pulled in the earlier stuff, like, you know, we get to see Bart's wiener and things like that. That was like...
Spider Pig.
Whoa!
Spider Pig.
You don't know about Bart's wiener, do you?
I don't remember it. I may have blocked it out.
You should rewatch it to see that.
I will. Okay. I'm sure that you have the DVD, so I'll borrow it from you or something.
Yeah. So we pretty much all talked about what we feel about the current status of the show. Like, I think I'm the only one at this table that still watches it and not like, you know, I have to see it.
I watch one episode a season and I go, okay, this is the part that was funny. There was about 5 minutes there at a stretch where it was funny and the rest was just trying too hard.
Yeah, for me, it's like in the first 5 minutes, it may be funny, and then I know the next 15 minutes will not be funny at all.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Simpsons has already, you know, we've kind of agreed that it's not really that great anymore. The movie did really well, but let's talk about this. I can't believe how many products I go out and see now that are a Simpsons version. There's pretty much a Simpsons version of every single Milton
board game.
Yeah, Milton yeah. Bradley or Parker Brothers
Simpsons
board game.
Simpsons Monopoly, Simpsons what? Trivial Pursuit?
I mean, like, we're already at the, you know, we're still doing, we're still seeing stuff like Simpsons Fruit Snacks, you know.
Well, I remember when the very first, like, commercial tie-in they did was the whole Butterfinger.
Oh, that's right. You better never lay a finger on my Butterfinger. Yeah. Something like that.
But they don't do the Butterfingers commercials anymore, right?
They did MasterCard. That was a good commercial.
Oh, yeah, the MasterCard commercial.
But the thing is that, yeah.
Oh, please!
It is a good thing when they only need to write for like 30 seconds. When they need to write for 30 minutes.
Because they put all of their 20 minute effort into 30 seconds.
Exactly.
Eventually something in there is gonna work.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, The Simpsons is more popular than ever. We have a Simpsons amusement park ride in Universal Studios.
Do we?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It's actually
yet.
Pretty good.
Didn't they
really.
Replace Back to the Future with
Yeah,
that?
They replaced Back to the Future.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, so, yeah, next time we head down to Southern California, you guys need to take me down there. Because I haven't been to Universal Studios since I was, like, 12.
You know
Not much
that.
Has changed.
Really?
You know that a lot of it's gone now. Like,
really?
It burned. There was the fire last year.
Yeah, the
backlot
fire.
The clock tower is gone.
Wow.
I mean, not the clock tower, the city hall. Courthouse.
Wow.
So, to me, that's like, there's no reason to go back.
Because the last time I went to Universal Studios was when they had just opened the earthquake ride.
Wow.
Oh. Wow, that was like when I was like in
that's
elementary
like in
school.
The 80s.
Yeah, see? It was a big thing when I went. It's like, oh look, the earthquake ride! And then we get to do the tour and Jaws will come out of the water. That part still is, you know. It is, right?
I don't think they can ever get rid of Jaws.
Yeah, Jaws is still
Jaws great. And the Ten Commandments.
Yes. Well, it's the same. Well,
it's the same part. Anyway.
So, well, let's talk about this. Like, there's more product placement for The Simpsons than ever, but the show is not really on par. Do you think people even watch? Do you think they even need people to watch the show anymore to sell these things?
I think they still need to keep it going for the commercial revenue and to keep their name out there. They can't just say, hey, look, here's Simpsons, like, Risk, and not have had any kind of real product on the market for 5 years, you know?
I just don't see what's the point of it anymore. I mean, once we get to next year, they will be the longest-running television show of all time, American television show of all time, finally beating out Gunsmoke, which they're tied with right now for their 20th season. Is there much reason to keep going on? I mean, I can't feel like anyone... I don't hear anyone say they watch the show anymore.
Yeah, it will stay in syndication forever, and they have such a huge pool to draw from.
Yeah. I mean, you can always just... you don't watch Fox for the good episodes anymore. You watch, like, all the syndication and local channels. Yeah.
But do you think that the younger generation is watching the new episodes?
I think so.
I really wonder about that.
I really hope so.
There was some way I could find out. I just find some kids and be like,
well,
hey, okay, that came out wrong. I'd like to ask some kids whether they watch The Simpsons anymore.
Well, my nieces are Disney kids, and so they don't really watch
The Simpsons.
They haven't
gotten to that age yet, though, right?
Well, one of them's at Harry Potter age. She's around 12-ish, and so she's around the age where I started watching The Simpsons seriously.
Do you know if, like...
Well, they're also in Singapore.
Does she know? Oh, okay.
Well, the thing is that they're watching all of these things online now. There's Disney Channel online for all of these kids.
Yeah, and I mean, Simpsons is free on Hulu now still.
And so that's how they're watching it, and I don't know if they're actually watching it. We have to find out. We're going to hit the streets. And by hit the streets, I mean
I would like to
get arrested
as
pedophiles.
Oh, my gosh.
Shady.
You just actually, need an excuse, don't you?
You listeners out there, Mom, if you do know some like kids in that, you know, 12 to 14-year-old bracket, just like, do they watch The Simpsons? I would actually be really interested to know.
Or actually, we could just, you know, ask, I guess, what are the target audience, which is the early college. Do they still watch The Simpsons?
Yeah, actually, if you guys still watch The Simpsons, can you let us know and why? Like,
and hey, we have a bunch of listeners in Australia. Do you still watch The Simpsons in Australia?
And in Sweden, do you guys watch The Simpsons? You know, I found out Marie is not the only Swedish listener. There's three.
You check their stats?
I can track stats by what country they're pulling from.
And we have three Swedish listeners. Wow.
Yeah, they can fight the three Finnish listeners we have too.
Hey, wait, but that would turn into a versus podcast.
We have a lot of Australians. I think 4% of our listeners are Australian.
Wow, like
to fight off the 6% of United people from the United Kingdom. Anyways, going back into The Simpsons, so what other final thoughts do you have on, like, this franchise? I mean, we don't really pay attention to it that much anymore.
We don't pay attention to it, but we know it's there, and we still think of it fondly. Do we still think of it fondly?
I still think of it fondly.
Well, yeah,
fondly.
At least in the golden years.
I'm not in Star Wars prequel hate.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not that they've run it in, well, okay, they kind of have run it into the ground, but.
Well, they haven't, like, massacred how, they haven't, it's hard for them to make the show absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It's passable.
It is passable.
But it's not like the classic episodes.
Yeah, it actually is coming close to not even passable if you compare it to the classic episodes. I think, like, they gradually let us down. Which is okay.
Across 12 seasons, yes.
As opposed to, say, 1999 when my best friend in high school put on makeup to be Darth Maul and waited for 24 hours in front of the theater and then came out going, I didn't like that movie that very much.
Anyways, so any closing thoughts?
So there's a second Simpsons movie coming out, isn't there?
Really?
Made a half a million dollars.
Dr. Evil, this is...
Oh, crap, we lost a lot of money.
It's like, Dr. Evil, this is, this is 1990s. That much money is a drop in the bucket.
Then you'll ask for $100
billion. $100
billion.
Anyway. So yeah, they're probably gonna do another one.
I totally expect them to make another movie. I'm surprised that they have not already announced another movie. You know how
true.
Fox is like, oh man, it's a hit. Green light the next one. Good thing we had that script sitting around.
Yeah.
filled with all the ideas that didn't make it in the first movie.
The other thing is that, so the Futurama movies, how have those been going?
The latest one was really bad.
Was it?
And Bender's Game, the third one, was also not really that great.
Well, they're half.
I only like the second one.
The second one was the tentacle one, wasn't it?
Yes. I like the second one more than the first one, although most people say they like the first more.
No,
anyways,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, because they're kind of movies, but you also can tell they're four episodes that are smashed together.
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is that what would happen to The Simpsons if it became like that? It became TV movies.
No, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. I think they understood when they made this first one, they had to bring in original writers. They had to make sure that it was funny, because if it was not funny, this would be like the biggest show off to the world that The Simpsons was not worth checking out anymore.
That's fair. Because the thing is that a lot of franchises in Japan, they do the one TV movie a year kind of thing. Like Lupin the Third has one movie a year a lot of the time.
Yeah, so many movies.
So many movies. You know, City Hunter did that for a while. What else did that? Well, Detective Conan does that, but that doesn't count because they're on every week anyway, and they have been for like 400 episodes now. Anyway, but yeah. That would be an interesting thing if they tried to take those... How many episodes a season? Is it like 20? 24?
It's about 20 to 24, yeah.
Yeah, if they took all of those 24 episodes and they took all the good jokes and put them into 2 hours.
Then they would have 45 minutes of good jokes.
Yeah. All right, so what are we doing?
One final question. I know we're already running really, really long. This is like the longest we've ever run. How would you end The Simpsons?
It would fade to black as Homer comes out of the bathroom.
Yeah, he wakes up in the shower. Or no, he wakes up and Marge is in the shower.
They all go to a diner while Don't Stop Believing is playing,
exactly.
And then it goes to black.
Or it just ends,
and then
it goes back to the Tracy Ullman show, and she says, and now...
That would actually be a good ending if they go back to the Tracy Ullman show.
That would be really good.
That's a great idea, Andy.
Ah, I claim ownership of this.
With those kind of one-liners, you could be a Hollywood scriptwriter.
Never touch the table!
I didn't touch the table! Itchy and scratchy land.
Yes.
And mouse. Sitchies.
Amy, how would you end it?
Immediately.
Oh!
Harsh.
Had to be said, guys. Had to be said.
Oh, man.
With those kind of one-liners, you could emasculate people for a living. Yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we could end The Simpsons with inappropriate laughter. Everyone just standing around laughing inappropriately, and then what? It was the flashback episode, right, where the doctor goes, "Oh, I left the gas on. He could die."
No, seriously.
Okay.
All right. You can find us online at www.s-words-podcast.com or send us any comments, emails, questions, feedback, anything to feedback@s-words-podcast.com. Also find us on Twitter at twitter.com/s_words.
All right.
Uncomfortable silence. Uncomfortable silence.
You know that time. And we've already gone through so much of our ammunition.
Yes, we have. Take them away, toys.
Did you call us toys?
Just do what the kid says.
No TV and no beer make Homer something something.
You mean go crazy?
Don't mind if I do.
Jerk.
Amy?
Squirrel.
Hey. Oh, that works fine. No. We're not allowing it.
No, I think I stole his.
Yeah, you stole
ever.
All the Simpsons quotes in the universe, and I stole the one Ken was going to use.
All right.
Worst episode ever.
I have wasted my life.
The goggles! They're dancing! Marge! We're missing the chili cook-off!
Hello. Butter your bacon, boy.
Dad, my heart hurts.
Do it.
Smithers, you are quite good at turning me on.
What are you going to do? Release the hounds? And then you're going to release the bees? And then release the hounds with the bees that come out of their mouth?
And then when they bark, they shoot bees? That was our best quote sound off ever.
Two boxes of glass. Come on, help me, I'm freezing my ass. Buy me brandy, a snifter of wine.
Are we just going to have
a am I kidding? I'll drink turpentine.
Move it, you bum, or I'll blast your ear in.
I found $2.
Then come in, my friend. Homer, I'm gonna throw out your favorite album from the jukebox.
No, not It's Raining Men.
Is that how deep Simpsons is in our veins? That's going into the credits.
Simpsons is like breathing.
Did we break Kevin?